tea time after. Well, the trouble with when we have a breakfast is we don't tend to have a morning tea. The look on your face is priceless. Did you know, Lee, am I allowed to tell them how old you are?
I am 29.
Woo. So next year, big 30th party. You'll have to wear a hat, a birthday party hat, not just a... Anyway. So the last couple of weeks I've talked about, you know, what is the church, the sort of big picture stuff. And last week we talked about, well, how does church look like at Chapel Hill, and looked at particular the five values that we have, and went through those. And if you remember, we changed momentum to perseverance because that seemed to really get at what we're trying to get at. And as I said, one of the things, I don't mind being held accountable to something as long as I have some influence on the outcome. If you hold me to account for something, I hopefully can do something to achieve that. Otherwise, it's unfair, right? Perseverance, we can persevere. It's something we can do. We can not give up. That's a decision we make. So perseverance makes a lot more sense than the idea of momentum, which is our previous value, because we can persevere, and if we persevere, then we will conclude the race. So that was a change that we introduced. And some of this has come out of conversation we've been having for a couple of years. We've talked about this Chapel Hill reset, looking at some, you know, it's post-COVID stuff, and looking at the things that we do and asking, are we clear on why we're doing them, and are we clear on how we should go about doing those things? One thing I know about most people is they want to do well. They want to succeed. They want to hear from whoever that is they're serving, well done, thank you, that was helpful. And anyone serving in a church wants the same thing. How do I do a good job so that I'm doing a good job? Clarify for me what those things are. And so a lot of our reset has been, what are we really doing? What is the outcome we want to get out of those? And then how do we get there? What are the clear sort of steps and guidelines for that? So we went through a bunch of things. We've done the prayer corner, we've done the worship team, we've done the pastoral care team, and we've been doing the elders as well. One thing, again, I know about every elder is they've always wanted to do a good job. But they're not always sure what that is. Ever since I've been an elder, there's always been a cloud of unknowing around what really should I do to do a good job as an elder. It hasn't had a clear job description, if you like. And because of that, it's hard to know whether you're doing well, right? So a lot of the process we've been going through is getting into the Bible and asking, what does the Bible teach us about good spiritual overseeing, shepherding? And how would we describe the kinds of actions that would do that job well? For instance, we looked at very practical things. How often should an elder be here on a Sunday morning to connect with people in the church? Should that be an important KPI or behavior of an elder in order to stay connected to the church? And we'd say, yeah, it probably is. It's very hard to be a spiritual overseer of a church if you're barely there on a Sunday morning. So it didn't matter how much you wanted to do a good job if you weren't able to do the good job because of other conflicting demands. So we've been trying to be clearer about what it looks like to be an elder so that we are clearer about how we do a good job. And now we're starting to ask the question about the pastor, because I'm an elder too, you see, but I'm a weird elder. I'm also an employee. So on a particular Monday night, we meet fortnightly on a Monday night, we're all equals around the table. Except if I disagree with them and everyone dislikes me, they can fire me, which is not obviously going to happen. It's like that. It's not. But there's that weird imbalance of power. And of course, I'm the only one in the eldership in the past who's had a job review or a performance review asking me, how am I doing? Am I performing up to standard? So I've had, to some extent, a job description, but I am part of this group called eldership that doesn't have a job description. So I get performance reviewed, but the team that I'm accountable to and working with doesn't, which is weird, right? Because I'm supposed to be part of that team and we're supposed to share the responsibilities. Even if I do more of them because I have more time, I'm devoted to, it's my job to do the work of the church. the eldership as a group is supposed to carry that whole responsibility. So we've had to do this first work, what is the eldership, and then where do I fit into that? And now we come to this other thing, which is, well, who are we overseeing? Who are we serving? Well, that would be everyone else, wouldn't it? The trouble is, how does Wendy know that she is going to do a good job overseeing you if she's not sure what you expect of eldership? What you are thinking about being a member of this church underneath or supported by a shepherding community of elders, how is she going to give you what you need unless she's clear on what it is you need? So our journey this year, and I'm saying year because we don't want to say let's get this done in a few weeks' time, is to ask the question, what does it mean to be a member at Chapel Hill? And currently we don't have a formal membership at all. If you just show up long enough and end up in the phone book, you're a member. And if you stop coming and eventually say, stop sending me the emails, I don't want to be in the phone book, you're not a member. It's as loose as that. Now, there's some good things about that. It means we're not trying to be exclusive, if you like. We're not saying you need to do certain things or be a certain kind of person to belong here. It is very open doors, very inclusive and welcoming as far as a membership sort of thing. But the trouble I have with it is, does it really clarify for us what it means to follow Jesus within the context of a church, within the context of having people who are overseeing our spiritual journey? That is, after all, what an eldership is about. So what does it mean to be a member of Chapel Hill, or of any church, really? For me, one of the main passages I come to when I think about this whole picture is what Paul says in Ephesians 4. And he says, Ephesians 4:11, he says, it is he, meaning Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So it seems to me Paul is saying, yeah, there are people in the church who have specific roles, apostle, pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist. They have specific roles, and their purpose is that everyone in the church will be built up, that everyone will be prepared for their works of service, that the people of God are not just the people with titles in the church, they are everyone in the church. They are God's people. And anyone who has a role of leadership appointed in the church has one single mission, to serve Christ by preparing the people for their works of service, so that we can be built up, so that we can be full and mature. So Wendy and Alex, Judy, myself, Mike, Alan, we see ourselves, and in fact the preaching team, we see ourselves as we are only doing a good job if we fulfill this mission. That everyone here is growing up, is getting stronger, is being equipped to do their works of service so that they can grow, be mature, and be full. That's how I see my job. That's how I see it. It's as simple as that. What I'm not 100% clear on is what you think when you think about being equipped for works of service, or what you think you need to be prepared for. What I'm not 100% sure of is, as you sit in the seats thinking, how is the eldership serving me? I don't know what your answer would be. Or how could the eldership serve me so that I could be of more service? So that's what we would like to get to the bottom of this year. Because as much as we want a biblical understanding of what eldership looks like so that we as elders can do the best job we can, we also want a really healthy and sound and safe understanding of what it means to be a member of the church so that we can serve you and you can serve one another. That's the other part of the picture of these relationships that we have. You are related to the elders. The elders are related to you. I am related to you all in different ways. If we are clear on that relationship, we have a better chance of meeting the right kinds of needs. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. So I have a question for you, and you are welcome to, well, I expect you to discuss this with someone nearby, but you can think about it just in your head. And the question is this: being a member of a church and a disciple of Christ are, one, either are they the same thing, or two, different things, or three, different but related? So being a member of a church and a disciple of Christ are either the same thing, or they're different things, or different but related. And that could be a strong relationship or a weak relationship. That would be in your own mind. So that's the question I'm asking. I'll give you a few minutes just to think about that and to chat about that. I'd love to have some feedback. All right? Go for it. Yes? Any church. Any church. All right. So, a little bit of feedback. Who's willing to shout something out? One, two, or three, and why? Jenny. So Jenny would say it's the same thing, even though you could be a Christian who's not going to church, to be someone who is going to church is, you know, like you see the image of a coal, it's been taken out of the fire, it's likely to go cold. Left in the fire, it will continue to burn, and so that's the idea of Christian discipleship, really living the faith, if you like. So you could be a Christian and not going to church, sure, but are you being a disciple if you're not in a discipleship environment? Would be how I'd rephrase it. Yes, Kevin. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because in some contexts, when you use the word membership, it does give some people quite, you know, the willies. And yet the Bible talks about it when it says, well, we are members of a body. Each of us is a part of a thing. And we're not, we don't get fused together and mashed together and lose our sense of identity and the different ways that we see and think about Christ. And all those kinds of things are really actually important. The diversity is retained, which is why some are arms, legs, eyes, ears, etc. Nevertheless, if you are not part of a body, it's called being dismembered. And if that happens to your actual physical body, it's not a good experience. And probably an arm that's been dismembered, it could still be an arm. It's just not very useful to itself, even. Christine?
I'm going to say three.
You're going to say three? Different but related?
And that is actually my personal experience where God told me not to attend church, but I never stopped being part of the universal church. I was also part of the discipling community.
Yep.
I was not an active member of my church for a number of
years. Yes. Yep. So, from your experience, you would say number three, it's different but related. Somewhat to what Jenny said, as far as you can retain your Christianity, your salvation is not a church-related issue, a church-going-related issue. And there are occasions in which God might say, I want you to step out of fellowship for a while, or at least the fellowship of a local community church. But as you said, you had a discipleship network that you were a part of, and it was for a season, it wasn't forever, and I've known you to be a fairly regular, faithful member of a church most of your life. But there is a distinction, which is an important one, I think. Anyone else? Yeah, so Alan's comment was, of course, everyone who hears the gospel has to respond to it as an individual. But having made that decision, they find themselves naturally fitted into a community where they can learn what it means to be part of the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of the world around them, which is a whole... I mean, discipleship and discipline are obviously related. And if you've ever wanted to really get fit and found that doing it on your own is really, really hard... that the willpower is often not enough. Going to the gym, being part of a community that is about, you know, growing in fitness, etc., makes so much sense. It's a natural thing to do. Who else has a similar goal and aspiration to me that I can join in with? Because that is going to give me much better chance of succeeding. Wendy? Yeah? Or John?
I think they're interrelated. Every member of a church should be a disciple of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Every disciple of Christ should be a member of a church.
Yeah. Related? No? you're leaning to two and fell into three. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. 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 Yeah, there's a lot that you're really sort of throwing at me there, Jenny, which is all of it very good. I'm going to struggle to re-articulate that. I heard some things, for instance, as has been said, being part of a community where this is just happening because that's the intent of the community is going to be of value. And if you are not in that and the intent begins, you know, as I said, willpower can wane, and spending time outside of a place which has a similar goal as you, and eventually you find yourself getting, you know, a fat baby was your comment. I guess you can, So that's three, different but related. Yes, okay, Rick. We have Steve's. We'll just stop it there because I'd like to, you know, lead into communion. But I think it's a helpful question. I think it's a helpful question because it does get at a couple of things, I think, that we do tend to struggle with in our world outside the church. We tend to think the most important thing for you to gain is independence. That maturity looks like being independent. The trouble with that is I don't think that is the biblical vision. The biblical vision is interdependence. Yeah, not being a baby to be carried around everywhere and needing everyone's help. You should be growing out of that stage. But also not so independent that you don't need anyone. Because eventually you'll say that of God too. And to be a Christian is fundamentally to ask the question of Jesus, well, what do you want of me? As to be in submission to him. And typically you'd find that will happen more likely within a community, which hopefully you are surrounded by people who are asking the same question. And I think it is three in the sense, and I'm not going to be hard and fast on this, I just think this is where I land at the moment. Different in the sense that, yes, I think, and I think of stories like Paul, who, for instance, when he was converted, he was very quick to preach, made such a mess of things, they said, can you just go away? And he talks about his experience of many years of being with Christ, not actually being, he might have been in a community of believers, but he didn't talk about that. He might have just been on his own, him and Jesus. And he's a rare individual. And I think in rare cases it does happen. Because we're disciples to Christ, not disciples to the church. So as long as the church says, you are to be hearing from the voice of God and what he says, if we actually have a good sense that that is what God is saying, then we affirm that and we'll uphold you in that, even if it means you're not going to be in fellowship with us for a time. Right? I don't think the church should ever be the place where it has the final word in your life. That would be the wrong idea, an unhealthy perspective on membership. Equally, I think if people say, I don't need or I'll never listen to any other Christian about my Christian journey, it's just me and Jesus, then I think we've fallen into the sin of independence, and the Jesus we will follow is the one that we make up on our own. It would not be God in his full-fleshed reality who challenges us. As a friend of mine used to say, isn't it funny how God seems to rubber stamp the things we want? But when you're in a community and you are genuinely wanting to be discipled as a community, then someone else will say something to you and you go, they're right, I'm not really being honest to myself here. I'm not really being a genuine follower of Christ. I'm just following my own inclination. So I would say they're different, but they are strongly related. Very, very hard to be a follower and disciple of Christ outside of the body of Christ. So, whatever we decide in the next year, if it's going to take us that long, let it take us that long, what healthy discipleship looks like, that will be the basis for what we say about what healthy membership looks like. Right? So we're not going to make up a membership criteria that does not lead to you and me growing stronger in Christ. That has got to be the fundamental. That is what the scriptures tell me. That is what I think we as eldership want to do. We want to do what we need as a church to grow stronger in Christ. and that's each one of us. Okay? So hopefully it's not a scary journey, but a very helpful journey, because I'm sure that, like me, you also want to hear at the end of your life, when God stands in front of you, or I stand in front of him, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," rather than, "What on earth were you doing?" Which might not be a salvation issue, but it certainly will not make me feel good about what I'd spent on doing on earth anyway. I've asked Wendy, in fact, Wendy approached me last week to raise some matters of prayer. In that case, Myanmar, but I asked her to widen the spectrum a little bit and talk about other things happening in the world, mission-related. So, Wendy, if I could invite you forward and ask you to lead us in that. Can I just grab a hand?